The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
The walk-off hit from the greatest game in Astros history, Game 5 of the 2017 World Series. I'll fight anyone who debates that. That's the best game of baseball that's ever been played.
Yeah, I think it's top two.
Top two?
I think it's probably number one.
What would be up there?
I know I'm biased. I know I am.
The Bartman game?
No, I think the year before, the rainout game, Game 7 of the 2016 World Series, where the Cubs are going back and forth. David Ross hits a home run.
Oh, against the Indians?
Against the Indians. I think those are the two best baseball games ever played, and they happened in back-to-back years.
Interesting. I remember that was when I was doing the night show at the flagship, and I don't remember watching it. I just remember the game lasted for a while. The rain delay sucked.
Yeah, and then Jason Hayward gave the big speech. I think it hurts. I think that's why it hurts it versus the Astros game, because there was this giant pause.
Yeah.
But I think those are the top two
games. I don't know. Game 5 was drunk.
I know.
Home run. And I already was on a sports high that day. Because earlier that day, I didn't even leave the flagship. The Texans had played the Seahawks. And this was the Deshaun Watson versus Russell Wilson shootout.
Mm.
Where you weren't even sure before the game if the Texans were going to show up because of Bob McNair's inmates running the prison comments. I remember that because I was dressed up as Harry Potter talking about how, because it was Halloween, I was talking about how Bob McNair was perhaps a little bit, let's just say, racially insensitive in that moment.
Yeah.
I'm saying that while I've got Harry Potter glasses on and a scar, like a lightning-shaped scar on my forehead. And I'm like talking about the seriousness of like what's happening here.
Imagine if we had like Twitch and YouTube back then. I would like to have footage of that.
I was like being really serious too. I was like, you know, I understand the black player's perspective, but I also, there's no actually understanding what Bob McNair was saying. McNair was saying as much as, I also understand Bob McNair's old.
Yeah.
And again, I'm wearing Harry Potter outfit for that. But anyway, that was a long day and Alex Bregman capped it off with that awesome RBI walk-off hit to end the game. He is now a Boston Red Sox after 9 years here with the Astros, where he was a two-time All-Star. He was the runner-up to the MVP in 2019. He was a Gold Glove winner and a two-time World Series champion and part of this incredible run. Slow start's always a problem with him, but I think that the thing that will be missed most about Bregman, not necessarily his production, because it could get sporadic from time to time, I think it's the work ethic and attitude that he brought into this clubhouse and the baseball IQ. And I know this sounds like all the things that you say, but any white athlete, these are all the stereotypes. But I mean, to a T, this guy checked off so many boxes, and it's going to be very hard to replace that side of him. But I think at the same time, it's 100% fair to say, man, $40 million a year? It's easy to walk away from that just given what his production has been since 2019, the last year that he was an all-star. And I think for Bregman, it's probably easy to walk away to Boston knowing that at Fenway Park, a ballpark that he crushes at, 375 career average and an OPS north of 1,200, he's probably going to be able to have an opportunity at least to have a conversation with somebody else about a longer contract, say he crushes it at Fenway Park this
year.
Yeah,
I think it's very logical that the Astros' $156 million deal by next offseason, Alex Bregman has signed two contracts that are worth in total more than what the Astros offered him. I think this will end up being a win for him, just like it was a win for Carlos Correa. That's what happened to him, is he took a lesser deal, you know, in terms of years than what the Astros offered. But in the end, he made more money in Minnesota than he would if he just would have stayed in Houston. So it makes sense. It does suck to lose your leaders of your clubhouse. I think the thing we'll miss the most, and it's nothing against Isak Paredes, is the defense at third base. He was incredible. He's been one of the best defensive third basemen in all of baseball his entire time here in Houston. It's the one part of his game that you never had to worry about. It never slowed down. He never had the yips like a lot of baseball players get. No matter how bad the bat was, the glove was always incredible. So I think that's one thing that like right now feels kind of ignored in the departure, but we'll probably feel this season a little bit too.
Yeah, I think so. And at the very least, you're better on the right side of your infield with a little less Altuve at second base. I know his fielding percentage is pretty good, but the range, definitely not so much. And Christian Walker over at first base. Literally anyone over Jose Abreu.
Yeah, yes.
And John Singleton is an upgrade in that spot.
Do you think that, you know, now that there's all this money cleared off the books, no Bregman, you bring in Paredes and Walker, but next year you've got, you know, Abreu, Montero, maybe Fromber, all leaving the books. Do you think they actually like spend money?
A great question. I don't know. I mean, the window's always open. That's what Jim Crane famously said.
Yeah.
But they were good at finding bargains. I saw Jeremy Branham quoting Daryl Morey earlier this afternoon, and it was an interesting post. It's a Daryl Morey quote about how, in a nutshell, you don't sign the guy, you find the guy. And obviously the Astros found Bregman, and now he goes off to Boston for more. The Astros' last like really good free agent acquisition, where it felt like it was such a steal, was Michael Brantley. Mm-hmm. Where, what was that contract that they signed him for?
Not much.
It really was a bargain, considering like what a accomplished hitter he'd been.
Well, his first contract. The second one sucked.
Yes, the second contract was crazy, and that was more on Jeff Bagwell. But you're hoping that one of these pieces in the Kyle Tucker trade can do that for you. And from a, you know, where he hits the ball perspective, Paredes, we've touched on this before, he mashes it to left field. Mm-hmm. And like maybe the only other park where he'd be successful is Fenway Park, which is obviously so shallow to left field. It's 310 to left on the Green Monster at Fenway. It's 315 to the Crawford boxes in at now Daikin Park.
So that'll be good for Bregman's offense, and we'll see. I don't know if they're going to go out and like spend big money next year and just replace these guys. Hopefully they pay some of their own guys. That'd be nice, but like,
who would they pay?
Who's Hunter next? Brown?
Yeah.
Diner.
But that's, both of those are down the road enough.
You could, you say that, Paul, but like, if you don't do it aggressively, these guys walk.
I get that. But there are also, I mean, if you're Hunter Brown, Brown just hired Scott Boras, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Hunter Brown knows he's going to get paid a ton.
Yeah.
At the end, are the Astros going to pay that? And here's the, they do take advantage of this. The Latino players that come here, especially the ones from other countries, I think they know that these guys are pretty thankful to be removed from terrible situations and that they will take a little bit less than the American-born players. And I mean, I think Hunter Brown, he sees dollar signs. I think that if you ask Hunter Brown early about what he's looking for, he's probably going to say, I want to see how much I can get. I think he would bet on himself. I think a lot of these athletes would.
Yeah.
So, okay, maybe Yiner Diaz, but Diaz this year versus the year before. I know Diaz had a couple of stretches where he was on an effing tear, but was Diaz as special last year as he seemed like he could be his first season?
I think at times, yes, at times, no. Like, definitely a different approach this year. I mean, I would pay him now. I'd feel comfortable paying him now. But if you want to wait till next offseason, like, I'm cool with that, too.
I asked because his first year, he seemed more like a 30 home run a year guy. And then last year, he seemed like more of a contact hitter.
Yeah, he was more all around last year.
Right.
And he had that long stretch where he didn't hit a home run and then he hit, what, like 5 in 5 days or whatever
yeah,
it was?
Yeah, yeah, there was that stretch. Right. It's look, if you're a catcher and you can hit, I mean, there's so few of them. So that's obviously going to be a huge perk of him. But there's a part of me that the only one I can really think of, guy in house right now that you're going to give a massive contract to that we've seen play, because Cam Smith, everyone's going to say that. It's Hunter Brown.
Yeah, Hunter Brown's the only for sure. I'd like them to. I would put Yiner next. If Pena bounces back in the way that Joe Espada is talking about, if he can become, you know, if he can get some of the pop back with the better contact, like, I'd be open to that too.
I we'd all love to see it.
But he's got to perform. I think he's got to perform before you pay him more than Yiner.
Yeah, he's more patient at the plate now. Great, but 2022.
Yeah.
How do we get back to that? I don't know if it ever comes back.
No, it might be like one of the biggest, insane. Like, incredible, like, best rookie runs you'll see ever from a player, to be ALCS and World Series MVP, to hit the home runs that he did,
yeah.
A couple walk-offs his rookie year.
It was like Derek Jeter if Jeter was actually good, yes. You know? But, yes. Hey, that's neither here nor there.
But, yeah, I don't know. Like, I would like them to spend money next offseason. I have my doubts. It's also not, like, the perfect free agency class to do it. The best free agent is Vladimir Guerrero Jr., he doesn't fit on this roster.
No, not really.
Because you have a first baseman, a third baseman, and a DH. So I don't really know where Vlad Jr. would play.
He's not the athlete his father was.
No, he's not.
I loved Vladimir Guerrero growing up.
That swing.
Five-tool player. Yeah, he swung at everything.
It was awesome.
Yeah, but he could do everything. And Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is kind of a little hefty.
Yeah, I think a little more hype than reality, too.
For sure. It's a cool name.
Yeah, I think the name and then some of the early stuff kind of puts him in a category he's not always in. At least Bregman didn't go to Toronto. He stayed in America.
That's true. But he's going to Boston now. It is interesting talking with a bunch of my Red Sox fan families and friends and stuff about this move. But I think they're going to like him. And this move makes sense for Bregman because I don't think it's necessarily about the money. Sure, $40 million for a couple of seasons with the ability to opt out. That's more than any other team was going to get him. There's the tax side of things, and you mentioned the deferred payments and all of that jazz. I really think he believes he's going to go here, and he's going to get back to 2019 because of the dynamic of that ballpark. And over his career, and yeah, limited sample size, we're talking, what, like 3 games a season at most, but over 9 years, he's hitting .375 there with an OPS over 1,200. I mean, that's effing insane.
He's back with Cora, so, and maybe even some of the cheating stuff aside, like, just maybe he just feels more comfortable with Alex Cora as his coach. It makes a lot of sense why he's there. If it was not going to be Houston, Boston to me always felt like the most sense, especially with how much like Cora wanted him. I do think it's interesting. Like, I'm curious because the original reporting out of Boston was that Cora and a couple others really wanted him, but others in the front office, they thought Bregman was a declining player. So I'm curious, like, from Bregman's perspective, what it's like to join that team, knowing that there's already people in Boston that don't believe in you, even though they gave you that contract. Like, that's just kind of a strange dynamic that was reported early on. But I think
who put that one out there?
That was passing.
Okay.
That some of the Boston front office members were just not, they weren't sold on Alex Bregman.
That's interesting. Cause I saw a picture that went viral of John Henry, who owns the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
He's like sitting in his office smoking a cigar, and it's such a flex. John Henry is such a doofus, such a doofus. He's the reason I don't like the Red Sox anymore. Like, I cannot stand that guy. That entire ownership group, too. They won 4 World Series. Like, think about that. So I don't know who he had. Was that his wife that he had, like, take a picture of him? I mean,
yeah, it was.
He could have taken a tip or two from Abigail or something like
and
that.
And I think she even posted it.
How do we? He could have done a better picture than that, like a dramatic picture of him smoking a celebratory cigar after trading for Bregman.
I mean, hey, you got to sell.
Signing Bregman, not trading for him.
Would you? Is Bregman worth a celebratory cigar?
Oh yeah, I think so.
I think so.
Yeah, if you're the Red Sox, if you're the Red Sox, you haven't done bleep in forever. What did you say?
I said Abigail's in love because she agreed with the celebratory cigar.
Hunter Brown for me. Sorry.
Oh,
Hunter Brown. Okay.
I guess we have to go to the ballpark to try to set Abigail up.
I know, guys.
What if it was? Jeez. What if that was Hunter Brown in disguise at the gym who had the courtside tickets?
He's too short.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh.
What's too short?
Great question.
I'm 5'4", and if you're the same height as me, that is short.
Okay, that's a fair answer.
Oh, he was 5'4".
He was like 5'7", 5'6", 5'7", but still.
Okay. Damn. Heightsist. Fair. Little heightsist.
Yeah, I'm just going to look at you now. I'm ashamed to work with her now.
I know, right? That's
coming
not cool.
Coming at short people?
Abigail, I don't even think you're 5'4", to be perfectly honest.
What do you mean? I literally...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're literally.
Does your driver's license say it?
Yes.
Guess what? So Paul says,
mine says
6 foot.
I'm 6 feet tall.
People lie.
Wait, you're not 6 foot.
That's right. I'm 6'3".
No, that's right. You're 5'9". Just kidding.
5'9". Okay. Just blocked.
I'm just kidding.
Just blocked on everything. There we go. For those who don't know, Abigail got asked out at the gym by somebody who had courtside Rockets tickets. So she's sitting in for Sean today. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Alex Bregman is a Boston Red Sox. It just feels weird to say it.
It does.
After 9 years, it's just a strange thing to process. And I think we all knew it was coming. But to see him on a team like Boston, it's weird. It could be worse. I mean, it's not the Dodgers. It's not the Yankees.
Yes. I do think it's less weird than Springer in Toronto and specifically Carlos Correa in Minnesota. Like Carlos Correa going to Minnesota after calling himself a Dior bag there.
Wait, he called himself a Dior bag?
Yeah. Yeah, let me see if I can find
okay. it. Okay, I need to hear that quote because I figured that would be Daniela, his lady, talking about the Dior bags because she seems like she has, in addition to... perhaps very violent hands, you know, given the massage that led to the, you know, Bregman, or not Bregman, Correa being out for a while. Seems like she has expensive taste. I figured that was her saying, like, I need my Dior bags. And Minnesota does have the Mall of America. It's a really big mall.
That's they do. I've
so you could go there.
He said, I go to the mall and I go to the Dior store. I want something. I get it. I ask how much it costs and I buy it. So if you really want something, you just go get it. I'm the product here, and they want my product. They've just got to come get it. That was the quote from Carlos Correa.
Okay.
Yeah. He's like a Dior bag.
Like a Dior bag. He could have compared himself to so many other things. Like, why not a car? It's a much more manly thing to compare yourself to a car.
Not for Carlos.
Listen, people wonder about my sexuality all the time. I'm not comparing myself to an effing man bag.
Yeah, your ribs never got broken during a massage.
That's true. But I've never gotten a massage either.
Oh, okay.
No, I feel weird about massages.
Me too.
Not really?
Me. Yeah.
Even coming from a girl?
Well, that's different. I mean, like, you know, an actual professional massage. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's actually nice.
They're nice?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a place? Do they have a discount?
No. Just go. Yeah. I have one next to me that I go to.
Gotcha. Okay. Joe, do you get massages?
Nope.
Yeah.
Never.
I feel like that's a lie. You've at least got one massage in your life.
I don't think so.
Damn.
I don't even think about it. Like, unbelievable. It feels like a waste of money to me.
Really?
I've bought them for people. Great Christmas gift.
Just okay.
That's all you got to do. Just buy it.
Talking massages here on Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Have you had a massage recently? 713-780-3776.
They're talking about quite a bit.
Do not call. Please. Just making fun of where this conversation ultimately went to. So... Correa in Minnesota, that is a weird one. That is a very weird one. George Springer in Toronto, also strange. We have some conspiracy theories. It is a tinfoil hat Thursday. No Christopher Soriano. We're not going to ask Deshaun Watson and Justin Tucker for massage recommendations. Conspiracy theory, Bregman didn't go to Toronto because he's a Kendrick Lamar fan and not a Drake fan.
I like that. You might be the...
Man, Canada just taking L's left and right. You got Trump bullying Trudeau, who steps down. And now it's the Gulf of America that's to our south. And I know that's Mexico, not Canada.
Yeah, but he could. But Trump could have called it the Gulf of North America.
That's true.
So it's still an L for Canada.
And then on top of that, yeah, you got Drake, like their most famous person ever, just getting absolutely destroyed at the most iconic American event.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's what's going to happen, I guess, for Toronto. They're in their. This is what they get for disrespecting the 4th of July by wearing their Canadian colors on that day. Oof.
They are one of the more annoying traveling fan bases. I know I've brought this up before, but they are like pigeons, seagulls,
okay,
descending upon T-Mobile Park in Seattle. I went to a game and I just wore like an American flag outfit because I was told that they were all like really annoying because so many of them show up, and they didn't take too kindly to that.
No?
No, because if you wear anything that's American flag related in Seattle... Like, so there were Seattle fans coming after me because if you wear something that's like patriotic in Seattle, they'll think you're like MAGA and they'll call you a Nazi.
They want you wearing Tifa colors.
They just want you not wearing any colors because it's like a very boring town and they want you to wear gray all the time, which obviously I don't fit in because I'm flamboyant. Flamboyant AF.
You're saying they didn't like the Hawaiian shirts?
No, they weren't into the Hawaiian shirts.
See, I feel like that would play in Seattle.
I remember one time I was out and I looked nice and the person comes up to me because I looked dressed nice and I wasn't wearing gray. And guess what they asked? They asked the question that I always get asked. Are you gay? It's like, what? Because I actually look good?
Were you asked that more in Seattle or in Houston?
It's just everywhere, man. Just everywhere.
Okay.
It's the burden of being pretty, you know? I'm not hot. I'm pretty.
Yeah.
I'm pretty.
That's why you get asked.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awful. Anyway. Yeah, we're all over the place here. Yep. Alex Bregman's gone. And now all we're thinking about is just what's next for the Houston Astros. We will dive into some of the things that were said at spring training today. We did hear from Dana Brown. We did hear from Joe Espada, Chaz McCormick, among other Astros as they get this season started. Also have some Nick Caley comments to react to, new offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans. You want to get in, you can. Weigh in on Alex Bregman leaving for the Boston Red Sox, 713-780-3776 to call, to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Stay there.
This is ESPN 975.
Ball to left field, slicing, tough play for Bregman. Can he get there? Yes, he does.
Yeah.
He is doing everything tonight at Tropicana Field. Alex Bregman, a great defensive play.
RIP to Tropicana Field.
Oh, yeah.
But also RIP to Alex Bregman. Alex Bregman's? What? Alex Bregman's time with the Houston Astros. He leaves for the Boston Red Sox 3 years, $120 million, $40 million a year with the option to opt out after every single season.
Best of luck to him. Hopefully they play the Red Sox in the playoffs now. First round. Give me that.
Astros Red Sox?
Yeah. Spicy.
Are you at all bummed out he didn't join the Chicago Cubs?
Oh, yeah. Disappointed. I think it makes sense, though. If you look at some of the numbers, what's been happening at Wrigley, Bregman probably would have been terrible there, honestly. He probably, that's why Cody Bellinger struggled a lot. It's become a really anti-hitter's ballpark.
Interesting.
It seems
the wind?
Yeah, it seems to flip every other year. It really has no, it's like not logical. But if you look at, like, in terms of just how hitters do there, they're really having opposite years. And someone who pops out a lot, like Alex Bregman does, I think the wind would kill him at Wrigley. Yeah, I was disappointed. I thought the 4 years, 120 was going to get it done, but 3 years, 120 sounds a lot better.
It is a lot better. The Tigers actually offered the most total money for what it's worth, 6 years and $171 million. That was per Mark Feinsand. The Astros offer was 6 years and $156 million. Guy can field. Guy is a very good hitter, and I think the thing he brings to the table the most is the baseball IQ, the leadership qualities that over time he developed. Because it was interesting, if you remember the beginning of his time with the Astros, he stunk out loud when he first came up. He was, I want to say, like 1 for his first 40 or something.
He was
0
for 18 to start, and then I think it continued after that for a while. Yeah, he was not good when he first came up.
No, I remember this because one of my buddies, Alan, who was a regular listener of me over at the flagship, that's how we met. We would hang out a bunch. Alan got in his DMs once, and Bregman responded back. And this became a big deal because I think Alan publicized it, and everyone's like, Alan shouldn't have done that. And I was like, I'm Team Alan here. Just my guy. But it was really funny to see that. And there was a moment in time where Bregman was very confrontational with fans. And then over time, he mellowed out a little bit.
I think once he became a dad, he seems he's very different. Like pre-kids, pre-marriage, versus post all those things, he's a very different person, it seems.
Are you trying to say that being a father changes things?
It seems like it did for Alex quite a bit.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess we should have learned from his rookie year. Like, he was be a slow starter. Like for the
he's
rest
a slow of, starter. Like, he's always
was,
been a slow
it was
starter.
Extreme his rookie year, but it was. He is a slow starter. And I do think it will be interesting to see if that, you know, if he snaps back a little bit more with the Boston media when he starts that slow.
They don't have the confrontational a-holes they used to have up there that cover the Red Sox anymore. Mm. The media's changed a little bit. But yeah, it's not about going fast. It's about starting slow. Everyone knows this.
You think what do you think the response will be? You think he'll get booed? Here in Houston in August. I think that's when they play.
He shouldn't, but it will be removed enough where it's possible. I saw a couple of polls up online. Are you mad at Alex Bregman? I think Sean Pendergast posted it, and it was 79% no, but 21% yeah. All it takes is that 21% to boo for it to sound like everyone's booing at the ballpark.
Obviously, it doesn't get booed when they do the, you know, the video package.
And oh, the tribute video?
Yeah.
How long is this tribute video is the real question. That's gonna be, I almost feel like it should be 10 minutes.
I was going to say like 2.5 to 3.5 minutes. There's so many moments for him that they'll include.
You got to have some Astros talking to him in the return as
yes.
well. But what was Verlander's when he came back for that one start with the Mets before the Astros got him a couple of weeks later back?
I don't remember. But usually I feel like they're pretty long. I mean, they're not. I don't see why like they wouldn't be like you putting some decent effort into this guy. He accomplished a lot. He won 2 World Series here. This looks like a 1:52 for Verlander.
Okay, he has to get longer than Verlander.
Yeah,
but how much longer than Verlander? And it's really only about because he stayed longer than Verlander, and also he didn't have that whole "Hey, I'm on the team, but I'm not showing up for the World Series" thing, which was a little awkward turtle.
So, but does Verlander get another one again? I can't remember if we.
Yes,
we
he does.
This.
Yeah, because it'd be funny. I would do it because it's funny.
I say no.
You show the same video you showed before.
Okay. Okay. Wait. We didn't say that the last time we had this conversation.
I forget what I said. I don't remember half of what I said.
If they show the exact same video, but you have to include like at least. 2 highlights from last year.
Okay.
Or it could. I think what we actually landed on was has to be only new highlights in the new tribute video, but then like it'd be like a 10-second video.
Okay.
It's not a lot of good things. That will happen the first week of the season.
But a minute 58, would you say that's too far, Joe?
No.
Okay.
If it's shorter, it's too far. It's too far of disrespect.
Well, speaking of far, it's time for a little segment that we do every single Thursday around 2:30. How far is too far?
Gallant and George ask a simple question. How far is too far?
Yeah, we're definitely outside the box now, huh? Now you gotta ask yourself, how far are you willing to go?
How far is too far from the text line? When are we having the Bregman jersey burning party? I think that's too far.
That's too far.
That's too far, guys.
Why would you burn his jersey?
Yeah.
That's a good throwback to have. He was here for 9 years.
Yeah. Are you going to buy... I know you're not really a Red Sox guy anymore, but you're a Bregman guy.
I wouldn't buy a Red Sox jersey ever again.
Oh, okay.
They can go F themselves.
So the other day, Sean sent us in our Twitter show prep messages... a story about Jalen Green and his lovely girlfriend, Drea Michelle, the age difference. And he said, how far is too far? Because we're talking about the age difference. So that's why it's perfect that Sean's not here. So we have Abigail to help us with this.
We know that anyone in their 30s is too far for
yes.
Abigail, who just made a
okay.
ew
yes.
comment
so
earlier
how far
today.
Is too far for dating Abigail?
You.
If you're 30, unless you're rich... I'm guessing.
Whoa!
No.
HR!
Oh my god.
What?
27 is the stopping point. 27, 28.
27, 28?
How old are you?
24.
That's limiting yourself a little bit.
Really?
That's a small window.
Yeah, I would think 5, 29. 6, would be okay.
29. 30. It's a whole other.
It is.
All right. Well, then before we move on to these other people.
Yeah.
What's the other direction then?
What do you mean?
Will you date someone that's younger than you?
I have dated somebody that was younger than me, but like a year.
A year.
Yeah.
A year.
But that's max.
Okay. Paul? Older lady, how far is too far for you?
43. Unless it's Kate Beckinsale or some of the icons that are in their 50s.
Fair.
How old is Kendall Jenner again?
Younger than me. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't stalk her that much.
How far is too far? How young would you go?
How young would I go?
Yeah.
Am I going to get judged for this?
No.
No.
If you say 18, we will. Yeah.
But I've dated somebody as young as 22 within the last year.
Okay. I think
We went on a date.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's
not
bad.
This was the girl that let me into the HOA meeting. Yeah.
I think as long as the
ask her out on LinkedIn.
Oh, that's right.
LinkedIn of all places, Paul.
I mean, so here's what happened. I was late to an HOA meeting that I was invited to last minute. This really pretty girl let me in. And I thought to myself, I had no idea what her age was. I didn't know anything about her. But she let me in. And the entire time I was in the HOA meeting, I was thinking of a way to ask her out. And then on my way out, she wasn't there. So I went on LinkedIn, found her. I just said, hey, if you ever want to get a drink, let me make up for you letting me in to the building after hours. Did not think she would respond. She responded. Nice. We had a really nice date, and then I think she asked me what my age was, and I think she was kind of weirded up by how old.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's probably what happened.
Understandably.
As long as the girl can take her to the bar and she doesn't have to have a fake ID, I think you're in the clear still.
Okay, what's Jalen Green's?
All right, Dre Michelle is 40, Jalen Green is 23. Is that too
far? Oh, my.
Because this is different, because typically these conversations, as we will go through this, it's the men who are older. But remember, Drea also has a son who is 23. She has a kid the same age as her boyfriend.
I think that's weird. I think I would never cross that.
Is that too far for you, Paul? 17
well,
years.
When I was 25, that wasn't too far for me.
Agreed. I'll just
leave it.
I'm with you.
Classic Las Vegas.
Oh. Let's look at the old dudes now.
Look at the old dudes.
Michael Douglas. He's 80 years old.
Michael Douglas. Catherine got cancer from Catherine Zeta-Jones.
She's 55.
Mm-hmm.
Is that too far?
How old is he?
80.
I mean, listen.
Y'all are both getting old, you know? Like,
see, I do think the goalpost changes when you become a certain age.
Like
once you're both over 50, what's the point of the rules?
I know. I think that's the same.
Like 80 to 55. Like, so what's the difference between 80 to 55 and 60 to 55?
So the
80,
range,
you're going to die in a year.
Whoa.
That's
whoa.
Not true.
Okay.
He looks great.
Be realistic.
He might live to be 100.
Okay.
He's still got 20 years
so
left.
You got like 12 years.
And then she'll still only be 75 and she can keep dating.
He has actor money, so I mean, he could live forever, theoretically.
True, he could put you in the will.
That's true, too. Although,
she's pretty good.
She was a superstar actress, and then she just hasn't really done that much of late. I think, what was she in? Was she in Wednesday? Isn't she the mom in Wednesday or something?
I think so.
Okay. So, it's always been a little bit strange for me, because when I was in college, my dad was in his early 50s. My dad was dating a girl who was only a few years older than me.
Okay.
Like, she was 25, 26 or something like that. This girl who was making bank, working and living downtown right next to the State House in Boston. She was like a financial analyst of some sort. And she was from Russia. So maybe Russians are just different. But yeah, she's this 5'11", like, model-looking woman. And I remember one day my dad picks me up from Syracuse. I had just taken a Greyhound bus back from Syracuse to Boston. And we drive to downtown Boston. And we get to a certain place, and my dad tells me to get in the backseat of the car. I'm like, what? And this girl gets in the car, and I'm like, what is going on? Because I'm thinking horrible things. And I'm like, wait a second, wait a second, wait a second, wait a second, wait a second. Are we? What's going on here? But then it just turns out they had been dating. And the next morning was a little bit weird because I don't think she understood boundaries. Because I remember in the morning,
She was just wearing a very
I think he told me this story before.
Risque nightgown. Yes, when she came out in the morning, I'm just wearing my pajamas. I'm just trying not to look. So I don't really mind. I think love is love.
Love is
and
love.
If you can find love, it love is love. But I do think that the male perspective on this is completely different than the female perspective on this, because I think most women, i.e., like my mom and my sister, weren't the biggest fans of this.
I could see that.
Where I was like,
I
my dad's
that.
Happy. It's fine.
And you're just like, attaboy. Abigail, how old are you?
24.
Okay, so you're 24 years old. Mm-hmm. You're at the gym.
I'm at the gym.
A man walks in, and he's got 6 Super Bowl rings on his hands, but he's 72 years old.
Oh.
Because Bill Belichick is 72 and his girlfriend is 24.
Oh, I've seen the
so
pictures.
How far is too far?
That is too far.
But he's a champion.
He's a champion.
He's won
the
2 Super Bowls with the Giants. He's got 8 Super Bowl rings, technically.
Right.
No.
You
absolutely.
Get to wear a Super Bowl ring when
Have
you go out to dinner.
Have you seen
with him.
What Bill Belichick looks like?
She don't care. I've seen what she looks like.
Ripped.
She's beautiful.
With Super Bowl rings. She is beautiful.
No, absolutely not.
So that's
no.
too far.
Yeah, a little too far.
What if he was in shape?
No.
Have you seen Pete Carroll?
Yes, I have seen
Pete
Carroll.
Pete Carroll's 73.
No.
Is that different?
That's a little too far.
73 is so much older.
Paul.
What?
I'm trying to think of somebody.
Well, Belichick's 72.
Betty White.
Betty White, no. No. That is a similar comparison. It's one of the GOATs.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is a level where we're all a little bit shallow. It would be fun to go on a date with Betty White, though.
Yeah, shoot.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, R.I.P.
Okay, do you go on the date just to have a story?
I would do that. I would do it for the plot.
Okay.
From the 281, your age... God, my eyesight's going. Divided by 2 plus 7 is the lowest you should go. Okay, so...
Your age by what?
I'm 35. Divided by 2... 35
plus 7
17 and a half
so 24
so 24 and a half
yeah
okay so that's the youngest I can go apparently per that rule
so, I've, yeah. I've heard that rule before
okay
it makes sense I understand
I just
it.
Date who I want to date I'm not
unless,
gonna
X. unless they're 30
unless they have courtside tickets at the Rockets game.
Okay 30 maybe like I may if there's an option like we'll see but at the time right now I'm like in their 20s, it seems old. Like, for me to date.
Jesus Christ. You're so young.
Abigail, we appreciate you participating in this.
Thank you. Thank
rousing
you for
edition of How Far Is Too Far. These are fun questions, though.
We couldn't do this with Maves. I mean, we could, but it's I think
no,
it's better.
No, we could. We could 100% yeah. do it with Maves. I think that's, in fact, sexual harassment on Maves. Why can't you do it with Maves?
I just think we have a different perspective with Abigail here. I think Maves.
I wonder
say
what Maves
same.
Would say.
I think he was pretty much in lockstep with us on this.
Mm.
I'd like to on, and I'm just not even going to read this comment. But Citizen Slim, you need a bonk. That's a bonk. You need to relax on the Twitch. You need to relax.
What is he saying?
It's not about you. It's more like he's trying to flex about.
Oh yeah.
About
Citizen. I'm putting you in timeout for this comment.
I feel like that's mega commenting right there.
Yeah.
That's a ridiculous.
You're gonna get a timeout there, buddy.
Ron says this show has been all over the place. That's true. And that's why we bring it back to Alex Bregman, no longer a member of the Houston Astros. You want to weigh in on that before we get out of here? 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975 Garbage Time Tuesday. Put.
Loot and Rain rule.
You're listening to ESPN 975.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
Starts. No.
Ah, I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Well, speaking of Lois Griffin in the background, you're going to hear a lot of Boston Red Sox fans talking about Alex Bregman with that thick Boston accent, dude.
They're going to love him at some point this season. Probably not at the beginning, though. They're going to be angry.
What do you mean, what do you mean by that? Alex Bregman's going forward. Up there. He's putting this town in his rearview mirror. He's coming up here, and a lot of people think, oh, we're the Houston Astros. We're better than the Boston Red Sox, and he's going to prove them wrong when he's up there. You think you're better than me, huh?
I do.
You think you're better than me? You Astros fans, who's won more World Series since 2004?
The Red Sox.
The Red Sox have won all the World Series they've been in since 2004.
That's true.
Okay, and we only cheated on one of them. And you know, we're not even talking about Paul Pierce or Kevin Garnett and the title they won. Or Tom Brady, you know, our Lord and Savior.
The Bruins?
Yeah, Bobby Orr.
Yeah.
Ray Bourque.
Did you ever have like a thick Boston accent growing up?
No, but much like Leonardo DiCaprio's character in The Departed, when I was around people that had it, I could put it on very tight. Like, that is the accent you're hearing right now, that is a true Boston accent. I can do it around people that are like me. It's a little cartoonish on the radio, but no, I can do the subtle blend in with people from Boston accent if I need to.
I make some weird decisions.
Yeah.
In terms of watching movies.
Oh.
I choose to watch terrible movies sometimes.
Yeah.
Hoping I will like them more.
Okay.
I watched the worst Boston movie of all time.
What's that?
Black Mass. I watched like two.
Yeah, Black Mass was disappointing. It was disappointing.
It's a huge disappointment.
It was Black Mass, for those who don't know. It is the movie about Whitey Bulger. It's more of a documentary-style movie, or it's at least supposed to be based on a true story. They ham up a lot of things. Whitey Bulger was a gangster in the southy area of Boston, which has become very bougie since then. And he was basically getting help from an FBI informant, which is one of many reasons where you should always be a little bit, let's just say, distrustful of the FBI.
Yeah, it's you can't trust the feds.
Can't trust the feds.
I just can't do it.
Can't do it.
And that's why Bregman's going to Boston, because you can get away with things.
you
can steal from Fenway. You can steal from the cops. Mm-hmm. You can do whatever you want. You can go to Dunkin' Donuts in every corner.
97.1 The Fan is a radio station in Columbus, Ohio. They halted all radio programming today after a suspicious package was mailed to the station. After returning from a commercial break, Anthony Rothman, host of the station's midday show, alerted listeners to the fact that he and co-host Maddie Ice Hayes were being told to evacuate the building along with the rest of the employees. Quote, "In full transparency, this has never happened in all the years we've been at the station, but I want to do this quickly and efficiently and not scare anybody here at our station. But when you work in a media situation, TV station, radio station, there can only be some things that have emergency situations." What? That doesn't really make any sense. Long statement. So they got a bomb threat.
Yeah. If it ever happened, I'm not waiting till commercial break to leave the building. I think that's a strange move.
Yeah?
I'm just leaving. I'm just turning on ESPN National and walking out the door. Why are you waiting to come back to break to tell your audience? Just leave. It's like, get out of there. I mean, I remember Branham and I did that. We waited when there was a real fire.
Oh, the flagship station.
At the flagship. We waited until we got back from break.
Oh, actually?
Yeah, there was a fire in the building. And normally you don't think they're real, but the engineer
fire alarms are going
came
off.
Like running down the hall. It was me, Jeremy, and Josh Beard at night. And he was just screaming at us that it's a real fire. So we waited for some reason to get back from break and then left. Stupid. We should have just left.
I've done several shows through fire alarms.
Yeah.
And because there would always be like tested fire alarms late at night.
So you don't believe them?
No, I've been conditioned to not believe them. I'm just like, just stay in. Stay there as long as you can. So I do wonder about this story just a little bit. Just a little bit. And I'll actually follow up on this in garbage time tomorrow, because 97.1 The Fan has had some very interesting segments that have gone semi-viral in the past. I'll just leave it at that. There's a part of me that is not 100% sure this happened, but that's just me.
That would be a wild move.
I mean, they've done funny publicity stunts before.
Yeah.
Right. So I have to do a little digging. A little digging here. That would be quite the publicity stunt. Oh, we just didn't want to work today. So
it's like, we're out of here.
We're out of here. But again, I'm not surmising that happened. Legal team, okay? Okay? Now you guys know. All right. Garbage time continues. Carl Ravage. So yesterday, Joe, we talked about Carl Ravage saying that the SEC is 82-82 against one another, which is something that's already happened before with an Rhode Island's basketball coach saying that the SEC has a .500 record against itself, which is how it works For some reason, Carl Ravitch decided to double down on his actual take on social media, which makes this, I think, significantly more funny. Carl Ravitch tweeted, "Landed, X is on fire. Tongue-in-cheek 82 and 82 record was to illustrate any night either team can win and one will. Clearly very poor execution on my part. It is amazing that Alabama and Auburn have only lost once in such a great conference. That's all." But people kept on pestering him, so he sent out another tweet. 4 hours after landing and reading all the responses, it is overwhelming. I will heed the advice of my ex-friends and take the L. My bad, my mistake. Always appreciate the feedback and grateful for the audience. A bunch of huge games left. Let's enjoy them. Someone responded to him saying, well, just like the SEC, you were 500 in your responses to criticism.
Even the second one, it's not great. Because also, I don't believe him.
I don't either. The idea that he was telling some sort of joke there, no, I think he saw that stat and he just went
yeah,
with it.
Yeah, Carl Ravitch, like a pretty vanilla person. Like mm-hmm. when he, in terms of broadcasting, he's going to be trying to crack some like 82 and 82 joke. Don't quite understand. I think he just made a mistake. And it took him a while to openly admit it.
Yeah.
Which I can understand. Like you're getting clowned all over the internet because of saying that.
It happens.
It. Yeah, but that one, that seems so obvious.
It does seem so obvious, but you know what? Sometimes you fall for stuff and you go with it.
Yeah, because he said specifically since January 4th, which is when conference play started. So.
I was just trying to do something that no one understands. That's the best explanation. Whenever you've been pantsed in public, like, yeah. You just don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great move. It's like you just don't get the joke.
Still didn't work, though. Anyway, that's going to wrap up today's edition. Galan and George. Big thanks to Abigail, who stepped in for Sean, was a good sport today, for our texters, our YouTubers, our Twitchers, except for the one that we sent to horny jail.
Yeah, he had to go time.
We had to put him in there. Sorry, we apologize. We wish you well. You come back tomorrow after a nice little ice bucket behind the neck. And for everyone else who listened, for Abigail, for Joe, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, have yourselves a wonderful Thursday. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts, we do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.